Business Matters, brought to you by the University of Bedfordshire Business School in partnership with Radiolab.
Thanks for coming along to Business Matters today. We are joined by Colin Bradshaw, Professor of Management Practice, and we're going to be talking about branding and the dangers or otherwise of linking big personalities to brands. We'll be asking lots of questions of the audience all around the room today as to their thoughts on various aspects, so do be prepared to put your hand up and contribute, because that will really be appreciated, make it a more interesting session. So I'm going to ask Colin just to kick off with his initial thoughts on what made him think of this topic for this session.
So I think it's a very interesting area. If you look at the BBC and the Top Gear programme and Jeremy Clarkson, what's been going on in the press over the last couple of weeks. And the question I want to come back to, Jeremy Clarkson, in a branding sense, is he a saint or a sinner? And ironically, Jeremy Clarkson, his initials are JC. And I'm not suggesting there's any correlation between Jeremy Clarkson and another JC, but it's an interesting question to ask. JC, is he a saint or a sinner? But I want to start with looking at what is a brand. So if I can ask the members of our audience, what is a brand? What does a brand mean to you? An image? Okay, very good. So do you have a favourite brand around an image? Nike, okay. And why would you pick Nike? So the swoosh logo, you find quite so as a piece of graphic design, the swoosh logo you think is a good thing. Okay, that's interesting. All right, and are there any personalities associated with Nike? Any big athletes? Yeah. So, okay. So can you give me an example of somebody who's sponsored by Nike who is a big personality? Any of the footballers or any of the NBA players?
Cristiano Ronaldo.
Okay, yeah. So let's remember Cristiano Ronaldo for later, and Nike. We'll come back to that. Any other brands that you guys like?
For me, basically, I have a brand like a
football. Real Madrid.
Yeah.
Okay.
So basically, I love the brand.
Okay, and why Real Madrid for you? So the club is very, very stylish, very flamboyant, and they win a lot of trophies as well. They do win a lot of trophies as well. Okay, fine. So we've had a sports brand, we've had a football club, which is an interesting brand to go with. Any other brands for you?
Well, I like Ellis Hub.
Like who, sorry?
Ellis Hub.
Okay.
That's a fashion brand.
A fashion brand, okay. And is there a brand spokesperson for that brand?
Not that I'm aware
of. Okay. So, interestingly, Nike, we say we like because of the swoosh logo. It's a nice, clean piece of design. We like Real Madrid because it's flamboyant. It wins a lot of trophies. But you like everything about the club. And we've got a fashion brand, which you quite like because you quite like the clothing, presumably.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. So a brand, we can say, is an image. Absolutely, but it's also a set of expectations and beliefs. So, for example, would you expect Nike to go out and suddenly start making cars?
Absolutely.
No, you know, it would be odd. But they might go off into other fashion areas of clothing.
Yeah.
Yes, certainly could see that. Or other outdoor clothing. So rather than making sports clothing, which is usually used on the track or in the gym, let's say they started making mountaineering clothing. Nike, that would be a logical thing for them. Real Madrid, you know, you wouldn't Real Madrid suddenly just start playing rugby or American football. You know, they're a football side, that's what they do. So a brand starts to represent a quite complex set of expectations and beliefs. So when we say a brand name, so when we say Elitab, when we say Real Madrid, when we say Nike, when we say Apple, when we say Toshiba, when we say Ford, when we say Mercedes-Benz, but in our heads we already start to get a quite interesting set of images and expectations around what those brands are and what they represent. So what I want to go on to now, and I want to start talking about the BBC. Now, do you all watch programmes on the BBC, or do you look at the BBC news website? Everyone does? Okay. So what does the BBC mean to you?
Entertainment.
That's
what I heard. Or news.
Entertainment or news. Okay. And why do you go to the BBC for the news as opposed to CNN or anyone else?
Convenient.
Okay.
It's still on normal channels.
Yeah.
It's well known. That's about it since I was a kid.
Yeah.
So it's ingrained in me. I wouldn't go to anywhere else. I'd just go to
BBC. You wouldn't go to anywhere else. But
what about ITV?
That's a good question. I guess BBC have just...
So that's an interesting word. Reputation. Good reputation, bad reputation? BBC.
Good reputation.
Call it a renowned reputation.
Renowned reputation. Excellent word. A renowned reputation. Would you say you trusted it? If you saw something on the BBC, would you naturally think, oh, that's probably true, as opposed to that's probably not true?
I need a reason why to question that.
You need a reason why to question it. So most things you see on the BBC, certainly on the news or the factual programmes, you would say were true. So it's a big brand. It's a brand you've grown up with. Ever since you were a child, but in terms of its brand values, is it fair to say what it represents is a trusted brand, a source of the truth, a source of entertainment, but a source of good programming that we can believe in? Fair enough? Would you disagree with that? Yeah, that's about the BBC. Okay, so let's go on and consider then Top Gear as a program. Now, do you all watch Top Gear?
Love it.
Love it. you don't watch it?
No.
No, you don't. Have you seen the program?
Yes.
Have you seen the program? Have you seen Top Gear?
No, I've seen Top Gear.
Okay, so one of you loves it. One of you's seen it and is kind of okay with it, and one of you's just seen it occasionally.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, fine. But everyone knows what the program is. Okay, so you'll all know, therefore, Jeremy Clarkson. Yeah, okay, everyone's aware of Jeremy Clarkson. So let's consider Top Gear first. Now, just a couple of interesting questions here. Who do you think watches Top Gear? Car lovers. Okay. Does everyone who watches Top Gear necessarily own or drive a car?
Most of them, I think.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you.
But I mean. So interesting, about 20% of the people who watch Top Gear don't own and don't drive.
20%?
Yeah. It roughly splits down like this. So about 60% of the watchers are male, 40% are female. There's a large slug, absolutely, in that 25 to 35, 40-year-old men who kind of like cars and petrol and going fast and doing stupid things. Interesting, though, there's a massive segment who are 45 to 55, but who watch it with their children between the ages of 7 to 11. So about 10% of the audience for Top Gear is under 12.
10%.
Yeah, you know. So actually, a large percentage, one in 10 people watching the programme, can't drive, you know, they're physically not old enough to drive, let alone be able to reach the pedals. So that's quite an interesting thing. So we're coming back to what we were saying before about factual entertainment, etc., and what it does. And interestingly, would you say that Top Gear, entertaining programme? How would you describe Top Gear?
Yeah, it's
So, interestingly, so what we're saying is it's changed over the years from being a car programme purely about cars and performance and specification through to being much more of an entertainment programme now. And I think that's broadly true. Certainly since 2002, when they started changing the format, I would say that's absolutely true. So if you went back and watched Top Gear in the 1990s, it was very much about this car goes this fast, does this much MPG, you can get this many sets of children or golf clubs or whatever it is, whereas now it's aesthetically quite beautiful, but it's also entertaining, and could I contend, it's not a word you've used, but at times quite silly. I did see a comment the other day that actually you've got to remember that the content of Top Gear is aimed to be engaging with an audience with an average age of 9. Yeah. So if you think about it, if you think about you're making a programme for a 9-year-old, it might look a bit like Top Gear. Because a lot of the races are quite silly. It's quite laddish. It's quite childish in places. But we like it all the more because of that, don't we? Yeah, absolutely. All right. So Top Gear, it's watched by quite a wide range of people. But in terms of its brand persona, it's quite entertaining. It's quite outlandish. It's quite laddish. It's a little bit near the edge. It's a little bit different, but it is now an entertainment programme rather than being, let's say, an educational or informative programme that tells you about cars. Yes, it does tell you about cars, but whilst Clarkson or Hammond or May is kind of doing wheel spins or flying over in a plane or racing a bus or someone on a bicycle or going underwater or, you know, whatever it might be, there's always something daft going on as well, isn't there, to make the whole thing more entertaining. All right. So let's then think about Jeremy Clarkson. How much of the programme do you think is down to Jeremy Clarkson?
Yeah. The way he comes across and the viewers, he's created some sort of relationship. Like,
he could almost do anything. So I was going to ask this question later, but you brought it up now. So the comment there was, Jeremy Clarkson could do anything he wanted to on that show. How far do you think he could go? How far?
Basically, I feel the show.
He can go really far. So could he swear on air?
Well, they censor it. He does swear, doesn't he? But they censor it.
Absolutely. All right. But could he swear on air and, you know, really be quite vitriolic about it? If he was getting very excited about, let's say, the Dacia Duster. So James May really likes the Dacia Duster, doesn't he? Clarkson clearly hates it. Or caravans. That's probably a better example. You know, Clarkson goes off on one about caravans. And it's really, you know, quite rude and insulting to a large part of the population, but doesn't give a monkeys about it. Perfectly acceptable, yeah?
It's not.
It's not? Oh, right, okay, but we all watch it, though, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
And do we love it?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do. Okay. So he gets away with that.
Yeah.
Could he get away with punching someone?
At first, I thought he could.
Yeah? But you're not so sure.
But no, I'm not so sure.
Not sure. What do you think is going to happen there?
Basically, he's works with the BBC.
Oh, the BBC. So you're absolutely right, and now we've got to the nub of the conversation. So the BBC, as we said before, is a trusted brand. It was built on what were originally known as, you may not have heard this phrase before, but known as Reithian principles. So Lord Reith, who founded the BBC, basically had a set of principles he founded the BBC on, which was about, you know, education, information, trust, honesty, integrity, etc. So the BBC, as a global brand, stands for something. And what we said before is it stands for trust, integrity, honesty, kind of doing the right thing. You know, it has a very strong moral compass. You know, you can trust the BBC to not only say the right thing, do the right thing, but behave in the right way. The BBC is proper. That's what the BBC is.
Business Matters, brought to you by the University of Bedfordshire Business School in partnership with Radiolab.
Interestingly, Top Gear then has now become an entertainment programme and has now become a bit of a cartoon, I would say. However, the problem for the BBC is that it makes £50 million a year. It's sold in 214 territories. The Top Gear website gets 4 million unique visitors per month alone. It's a big asset. It's a massive asset. So you've got the BBC, you've got the Top Gear programme, and then you've got Clarkson himself. Now, what we haven't done yet is to describe Clarkson. This is the nub of the issue. How would you describe Clarkson? This is being broadcast by the way at some point. So, just you know, remind you of the slander rules legislation here.
No.
Opinionated?
Huh?
Opinionated. Yeah.
Right wing.
Entertaining.
Yeah. Absolutely. Is he in
egotistical?
Egotistical. Okay. Is he in truth a bit of the person we'd all like to be if we thought we could get away with it?
No.
No. No? Interesting.
Yeah. A bit worried about you there, Colin.
If you include the cost, if we could get away with it.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people would really consider that as okay.
But do we think, therefore, I mean, let's put the fact he punched someone to one side for a second and what's currently going on. But do we think what he does, if he hadn't punched someone, do we think that is acceptable? We don't think that's acceptable. No. So put the punching to one side for a second. So, but you know, if we round a month before the whole punching incident, and I was to ask you the question, do we think what Jeremy Clarkson does is acceptable? What would you say?
What he does on the programme.
What he does on the programme, yeah. I mean, you know, he's a little bit racist, he's a little bit right-wing, he's a little bit laddish, you know, he kind of pushes the envelope, doesn't he?
Again, I think he goes down too
easy. It's near the knuckle, but it's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah, it's towards the limits of acceptability, but yeah. it's kind of okay.
Do we actually think that is him, or is he acting? For me, it feels like he's a caricature of himself. If you watched him from, say, 10, 15 years ago, he was much more, you know, mellow, more rounded, that sort of thing. He's, you know, he personally makes a lot of money out of that program because he's obviously got a significant share in the production company and everything.
Well, not anymore, but he
sold it out for 15 million or something, didn't he? But, so a question, I don't know, I don't watch. Personally, I don't find the programme way particularly interesting, but it comes over to me as sort of playing to the crowd and, you know, and therefore exaggerating some of the traits that you've talked about.
So is it fair to say that actually Clarkson is unreconstructed, but more importantly, he's a bit of an antidote to what many may regard actually as the political correct atmosphere that much of the media is currently played out in nowadays? Is that fair? Okay.
Yeah.
So he's a bit, if you almost like, you know, the antichrist of PC-ness. If I can put it that way.
So you could analogise him to Nigel Farage, then. The man who makes...
You could
do you know
draw
Nigel Farage and leader?
The UKIP leader?
Political UKIP. Yeah.
Nigel Farage would probably enjoy that comparison.
Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. He makes mistakes every other day. Has to create new policies every 5 minutes, reversing the previous day's statement and all that sort of stuff, which politicians in general do not do. Yeah. And yet he manages to get away with it.
So now we come back to, and if you imagine it as a triangle, and I'm now going to make you the brand manager for the BBC. What does the BBC now do? Because you're at the BBC, which we said is a trusted, proper, strong moral compass brand. Top Gear is a programme which has now become cartoonish entertainment, and Clarkson himself, who is the antichrist of political correctness, maybe slightly strong way of putting it, but you know, for the purposes of example and make the argument better, what would you now do as the BBC in the light of what's happened? How do you manage your brand, this complex set of expectations and beliefs that you take out into that marketplace, against this really valuable real estate you have worth £50 million a year to you, sold in 240 million countries, but off the back of this individual who has really gone too far this time? What do you do? So that's interesting. They need to do something.
We ought to caveat all of this, of course, that we're not. None of us actually knows what he did or what the circumstances were in the punching incident.
Well,
it hasn't been.
I think the alleged details of the incident are quite widely reported. However, in some ways, it doesn't matter what the incident was. It's the fact it's precipitated this current course of events. So let me ask you a different question then. Hitting anybody at any point is unacceptable. Of course it is, you know. Apart from maybe if you're doing the Heimlich manoeuvre and trying to save someone's life, you know. But, you know, few and far between are the circumstances, broadly speaking, where it's acceptable to hit anybody in any way, shape or form. But if you put that to one side, would you want Clarkson to change his behaviour? And I'm particularly thinking from the brand perspective as the BBC. No. He's done some other things, though. Yeah. So, eeny, meeny, miny, moe.
They haven't.
Catcher by its... By its day, slope on a bridge, referring to Asian people. The Falklands thing with the number plates.
Yeah.
You know, there's plenty of other examples where people have been offended.
Yeah, probably many, but I mean, I think
that's the line, and he's crossed it.
And he's crossed it, and if he continues like that, then they would have to.
But given that you now think he's crossed this line, do you therefore have to now fire him?
Well, he could walk to another broadcasting company, couldn't he?
So, let me ask this question down here. Is Clarkson too big for the BBC?
No?
That's not a question of that. But does Clarkson need the BBC? So, he's not too big for it, but he doesn't need it.
Because the audience...
Oh, now that's interesting. Yeah. So, could you replace Jeremy Clarkson on Top Gear? Okay. Let me give you some examples then. Could, I'm just thinking of people who have already made programmes about cars, etc.
Fifth Gear, isn't
it? Well, so you've got Tiffany Dell and all those sorts of people who do Fifth Gear. But I'm trying to think of people who are already personalities, who people might relate to. You know, so let me, and I've got one in mind here. So, and this is a guy who has already made a programme about fast cars, because he loves them. Idris Elba. Could Idris Elba present Top Gear along with Hammond and May?
I thought the most interesting possibility was Alan Partridge.
Partridge.
Do you know the comedy character Alan Partridge?
Steve, for the audience, that's completely the wrong time frame of reference. Have you heard of Alan Partridge?
No.
I'm Alan Partridge.
A guy called Steve Coogan is. Right, okay.
It's
research
wrong,
him later.
It's the wrong crowd, really, and the wrong gig.
Really
wrong,
naff.
The wrong
a really gig. Naff broadcaster.
Who's Idris Elba? Who's.
Oh, I turn to the audience here. You know who Idris Elba is?
I think you've answered
he's
your question.
He's an actor. One of the coolest men on television. Okay, the point is that I've also not muted.
I think I know you mean
now. He was in the
detective
police series.
Yeah.
Well, it was the Mandela film.
It's what, sorry?
It was in the Mandela film.
Oh, it was in the Mandela film, yeah, absolutely. And loads of other stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. But he loves fast cars. He loves
fast
cars. But
I think
cars.
You've answered your question.
Yeah, I think
brand isn't big enough.
I think we have. No, the brand's not big enough. So let me come back and I want to ask you one. I just want to sum up a little bit and then I want to come back and ask you one final question. So what we're talking about here is branding and the issues with brand management when you involve a particularly strong property but with a strong personality. There have been other examples throughout time. This is quite an interesting one, I think, because the BBC is such a strong, iconic global brand. But what it stands for actually is very different to what Top Gear is, and is certainly very different to what Jeremy Clarkson is. But from a commercial perspective and an opening doors around other things, the BBC quite likes Top Gear, but it has to have Jeremy Clarkson to make Top Gear work. So my final question is this. If you were the brand manager for the BBC and Top Gear and Jeremy Clarkson did not exist today, would you invent it? Would you look for a programme that was like that, or would you look for something different? Okay. So people will like cars because, you know, they can be a bit glamorous, they're fun, they're fast, they're exciting, etc. But would you have a personality presented? So if you think about the news, for example, that was the first programme you said you watched on the BBC. The news can be presented by a number of people. You know, there's no one person does the news. Currently, there's only one person who does Top Gear. Would you need to have a personality to make that work? Or could you do that across a number of people?
Business Matters, brought to you by the University of Bedfordshire Business School in partnership with Radiolab.
So what we've actually come around to now is that actually you don't need Jeremy Clarkson now to represent that antidote to PC-ness and that silliness. There are other ways you could do that now within the BBC or elsewhere.
Well, it might be a more appealing a type of personality for the current sort of time that we live in now.
Well, the issue here is sometimes you need followership.
he is Top Gear. I guess my question is, though, is that... Do we still want a programme that looks like Top Gear? Because Top Gear, let me be quite direct about this. Top Gear, I think, has become cartoonish, a pastiche. You know, we're tired of the races. We're tired of the snide commentary. You know, we're tired of whatever else. Is it time for something else now? And actually, therefore, for the BBC, it's not such a bad thing to end it like this, because actually what this incident has done is generated a huge amount of media coverage, both for Top Gear, Clarkson and the BBC. It will guarantee its sales, globally throughout whatever else. But you know, actually, was Top Gear as a brand asset starting to die away anyway? Because the format was becoming fatigued, as it had have done originally back in 2002, when it moved from being a motoring program to being an entertainment program to now being a kind of, you know, a child's fantasy almost of races and stuff.
Yeah,
let's be very clear though, because you referenced Family Guy there specifically, but Family Guy is very postmodern and ironic. So when it makes reference to those things, it does it in a knowing way and a sort of saying, but you wouldn't do this in the real world. You know, you can do it in a cartoon, and the cartoon in that way is therefore poking fun at the racism.
I mean,
yeah, it's parodic.
You can see that how.
Yeah. Yeah. Well. In that sense, Family Guy is parodic. Whereas, interestingly, I think Top Gear actually isn't, and is actually factually real, and that's what makes it unacceptable in terms of its racism. Okay.
Can we move on from Top Gear slightly for the last sort of five minutes? On the same, but on the just extend the topic a bit more into this whole issue of big personalities and brands, and maybe come away from the consumer arena for a minute. So Colin and I were talking just before the session started, and I raised the topic of politics, for example. So I have to be a bit parochial and talk about British politics for a minute, but the political parties, and we've talked about Farage in the last 10 minutes, political parties tend to be associated with their leaders over the last 30, 40 years particularly. So, for example, Tony Blair, who was a very successful leader of the Labour Party, what he called ended up calling New Labour, was Prime Minister for 10 years. And his personality came to, you know, personify, if you like, that New Labour approach to governing the country, etc., etc. But something went wrong, which was involved invading Iraq, and primarily, and subsequently, most of his colleagues at that time would. Have said, well, you know, maybe he wasn't quite as good as we thought, and you know, he did a lot of damage to the Labour Party. You can go to the other side to Margaret Thatcher, you know, country's first ever woman Prime Minister, etc., etc. To do people, and it really comes back to the point Colin was making about Top Gear, do people just sort of outstay their welcome? And whether it's the grandees who manage the Tory Party or the guys in the back room who manage the Labour Party or whatever, are they sufficiently in control of their brand in this case? Well, I would contend it's a brand. To say, that personality's got too big or has gone off in the wrong direction and is actually doing us harm, whereas previously he or she was doing us good. So, with Beckham, Ferguson, Alex Ferguson, clearly saw the Beckham brand getting too big and too much in the way at Manchester United, and sold him when he didn't need to sell him, from a player point of view or team point of view. But he saw this massive distraction of, you know, him getting married and the Spice Girls and all that sort of showbiz stuff getting in the way of Ferguson controlling that team and its and the club, and you know, obviously let him go. It's quite an interesting one.
You had them when people brought in the references of
that's
probably got some sort of deal on repeat fees, I would imagine.
I would imagine so. So let me bring us to a conclusion. Let's bring it to an end. So it's quite a complex area, you know, and particularly where you've got three quite different brand propositions in play: the BBC brand, the Top Gear brand, and then Clarkson's own personal brand. With most of these things, it usually ends in tears. So where you have a big personality, be it Margaret Thatcher or Tony Blair or David Beckham, it never usually ends well. It usually ends in tears. So I think the final thought I will leave you with is to say that if you do ever go into brand management and you do ever find yourself managing a brand and you start to think about getting into celebrity endorsement, absolutely, it can be brilliant, as long as you are aligned about what the personality stands for and about what the product or the service or the organisation you're working for stands for. But don't let these things go on for too long. It's got to go on for a minimum amount of time, 18 months to 2 years, so people start to understand what it's all about. But you know, any longer than that, you run that risk of either your brand or your organisation, or more importantly, the personality, in this case Jeremy Clarkson, actually suddenly becoming, you know, potentially a bit jaded, a bit tired, and then a toxic asset, which actually could end up doing you some harm. So yeah, branding and personality can work, but don't do it forever. And if you do it for too long, it typically doesn't end well if you outstay your welcome. Okay. Thank you
very much.
Well,
thank you very much, Colin. That's most interesting, and indeed to the vast numbers of audience members who contributed today. That was much appreciated. So thank you very much. So that's the end of this session of Business Matters. We'll be doing some more over the next few weeks. And thanks once again to Radio Lab, who recorded this today, and we'll be broadcasting it. I think it's midnight every Wednesday now. So it's a key time to tune in. And also available on their Listen Again section on their website. So thank you very much. That's it.
For more information, visit radiolab.beds.ac.uk/businessmatters.